just on a quick thing, like, even that statement is conservative propaganda. Like, you say that, like, the left owned every platform. Fox News has been the largest cable news network in the United States for, like, decades. Every single talk radio program, except for, like, NPR, was a conservative talk radio program. The people that work in the arts tend to be more left-leaning, yeah, sure, but they're not out here being, like, explicitly political in the same way that Joe Rogan is. That was my comparison between Joe Rogan and Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift can come out one time and tell you, hey, vote for Kamala, but she's not making music about taking the vaccines and, you know, behaving in lockdown and loving Palestinians like Joe Rogan is doing episode after episode after episode, carrying water for the current administration. Donald Trump has people flying around the planet right now doing scam deals with his family, Witkoff, in ways you've never... No, right, I'm not. I'm just giving you facts, but you don't know any of them. You have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about. MBS just gave a $2 billion loan.
Dana, you gotta control the room.
You gotta control poor Destiny there. His destiny is forsaken to the left.
Jesus. You're about as quick as Trump is right now with his retorts. Nice job.
Destiny, you wanna take the definition of, like, radicalization?
In the broadest of sense, it's basically getting a group of people to adopt a very extreme set of political beliefs or ideas.
So you guys are going down the political route. Like, would this be like the Nick Fuentes characters, all the celebrity people that are basically becoming influencers and community leaders and tribe builders?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I thought this to be, so the reason I thought this, Dana did a especially phenomenal job with this lineup. Fishback is kind of the, like, candidate that comes out of this wing. So, like, says a lot of very hot topic, controversial things, kind of, that speak to, right, like, he proposed a 50% tax on OnlyFans girls, proposed 100% alimony, like, men lose everything if they cheat on their, like, he's got a lot of policies that I won't say are traditionally conservative because they're kind of big government, but specifically appeal to kind of this young group of right-wingers who were raised in internet culture. So I think that the debate, I guess we got to choose teams. Right? I think there's a lot of ways we could take this debate that'll make it interesting.
So, Gary, can we choose the teams, or are you going to choose the teams?
No, you guys tell me where you want me. Y'all break it up how you want, and then just tell me where you want me.
I want Dustin and Destiny to be on a team together against Gary and Marty. Dustin, what do you think about that? Because I think that you're going to be the one to be able to articulate that side.
I'm good with that. I mean, listen, I'm naturally a right winger, but I can definitely do some things to pick up part the online right, so I'm down for that.
Okay, Gary, unless you want to be on Destiny's team.
We're representing the...
You're representing that. No, people online are not being... They're not being radical. These young men are not being radicalized by the online right. This is just meant to happen. There were not a lot of strong men now, and now they're kind of catching up. They're getting influenced online properly. Destiny does not believe this. I don't want to put words in your own mouth, Destiny, but Destiny and Dustin are going to be taking the opposite side of that.
I don't believe that people are being radicalized online, or...
Yeah, that, you know, the online right is actually a bad thing. It is radicalizing the young generation and young men.
That's what I do believe, or that I would have the opposite belief of that?
That's what you do believe.
Yeah, okay, just making sure. Yeah, correct. All right.
Okay, so Dustin and Destiny against Gary and Marty. You'll have 2 minutes for your opening argument. Dustin, I'd like you to go first.
All right, so the online right, so just... to, like, dive in and give some definitions. We have an issue with people following a bunch of supposed influencers who are neither right wing nor have the best interest of the people who are following them in mind. So, right, like, I would generally categorize this, you see it in, like, the quote-unquote manosphere, and it's leading to a degradation of societal norms that are important. It preaches a version of permanent victimhood of we're the ones who are constantly being attacked, white men are constantly under attack, everybody is under attack, I am a permanent victim in society at large. It preaches, like, it's very anti-relationship. So we kind of, this goes back to, like, the last couple episodes where we've talked about this division between men and women. Online right radicalization that I definitely want to emphasize here specifically targets women. All women are hoes. They're all a bunch of whores. They're all going to step out and cheat on you. You shouldn't bother trying to have a relationship because it's just not going to work out for you, poor young right winger guy. It's definitively anti-Israel, anti-foreign policy, anti-American might and strength. For the full case, men are being led to follow a bunch of people who claim that they're against toxic masculinity aren't masculine. Right? These are not the people that we want our young men emulating and trying to be like. We end up with a very bad position as a result.
Thank you very much.
Marty, why don't you go, Marty?
Taking the opposite. It's going to be hard because I sort of agree, but maybe we'll point to causation. Maybe the online right has as much influence and as big of an audience as it does because they're simply highlighting things that are obvious to many younger millennials and Gen Z that exist today. It's objectively hard to find a good paying job. It's objectively hard to find a mate, a wife, if you will, and I guess the online right has recognized this and is simply broadcasting. I'm seeing this problem too, and people are drawn to the light of people broadcasting their own problems that they see. And it's not the online right that's radicalizing these people, simply the system that exists. And I think even prefacing this as the online right radicalizing young men is only a half-truth. I think both sides of the aisle can be charged with radicalizing young men, whether you're a progressive or a conservative. And I think the core of the problem is the system, the uniparty system that they've grown up in that really hasn't provided them with the opportunities to live a life that their parents and grandfathers did. Get a good job, get a house, pay off a mortgage, have some excess disposable income to go on vacations, have a family that you're able to have live in a neighborhood that's relatively safe and has people living in it that abide by the rules. And so I think you can make a strong argument that the system radicalized these young men and the influencers that are sort of grabbing their attention or sort of have influence because they're vocalizing something that these young men have intuited over time just through their experience. So, and the core of the problem isn't the influencers, it's the system that's pushing them towards them.
Thank you, Marty. Destiny, I'm eager what you have to say in response to this. I'll give you 2 minutes as well.
Sure. I mean, my statement is going to be pretty simple on this. Like, I think that there's always going to be some level of discontent with anything. Like nobody would say they have a perfect life where everything is going perfectly. I think that right now there is an online media ecosystem that is especially capitalized on by the right that tries to take all of that discontent and funnel it into, I would say, very unproductive conversation areas by basically getting people to be upset and then getting people to aim at things that are either unachievable or would never do anything to address the issues they have. So it might be taking how upset somebody is about unaffordable housing and then channeling that into anti-immigrant sentiment. It might be somebody's upsettedness about, their perceived unfairness with government debt and, you know, how difficult life is for them and how much money the government is spending and inflation, and then channeling that into worthless projects like Doge. I think this is a unique kind of infrastructure that's been set up on the right that comes, you know, from the top down. The president coordinates with his cabinet people who coordinate with people in the media, who coordinate with people in the alternative media. And then this kind of outrage machine just like perpetually funnels, especially young people, through these seemingly apolitical spaces like the Joe Rogan podcast into these political spaces where they find themselves supporting politicians who aren't really doing anything to alleviate any of the discontent that they were originally capitalizing on to monetize their podcasts.
Can you maybe phrase it in a way that I can understand a little bit better? What's the problem?
So like, I would say basically, I mean, there's several problems, but I would say the big thing is that, like, I think more than at any point, at least in my life, it feels like every single topic has become heavily political and everybody has to be involved in politics. So if you're listening to any podcast, they're going to have a position on like Leah Thomas and trans people or the Iran war or the cost of housing or whatever. And as a result of that, every single person now is starting to feel like they have to be part of some political group or tribe. And I feel like the people on the right have plugged into that such that they're able to kind of give their talking points to all of these podcasters who then spread it to the population. So a person who in the past might have listened to Joe Rogan because they thought that he was just interesting now has a lot of what I would say are just really battered dumb ideas related to COVID and the vaccines, or related to foreign policy or Doge or Democratic politicians or conspiracies in general.
So you say, hey, it's from the right. And I think what I hear you saying is, hey, there's organizations on the political side on the right, I guess that's the conservatives and the Republicans, MAGA, that are organizing people like the Joe Rogans, maybe not exactly Joe Rogan, but you use that name.
Yeah, so I would say exactly him, yeah. But yeah.
so that young boys would be indoctrinated into the regime of the right. Is that correct?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
And that would suggest to me now that, and maybe this is the reason we, you know, sometimes have arguments with human beings, is that the left does not do that.
The political left doesn't, know. I think there's like an extreme left that does this to some extent, but they're not really interested in political power. They don't have like representation in Congress or anything. They just exist in these online spaces. Whereas on the right, they're Congress and they're the president.
Just that all the influencers and social media people that have big, big followings and big groups, they're all writers. They're all on the right. By the way, am I one of those guys? Am I on the right?
I'm not familiar with your content in particular, so I couldn't say, but it feels like...
What qualifies for being on the right?
I mean, there's kind of like a collection of beliefs that we could look at or analyze. It depends on, I guess, specifically what we're talking about. I mean, in the very broadest sense, is like, did you support Trump in the 2024 election, I would say.
Okay, so if you supported Trump in that election, you're on the right. Anyone that did not choose to participate in that vote or voted for Kamala or voted for somebody else, are they on the left?
Yeah, I would say in the broadest sense, yeah. But I think one issue is that when you think about the people on the right who were supportive of Donald Trump, these people were like proselytizing. These people were talking so much about the importance of the election. Like compare like Joe Rogan to Taylor Swift. When Taylor Swift came out and endorsed Kamala Harris.
Why don't we compare Joe Rogan to Anderson Cooper at CNN? Because I think the comparison is probably better.
Sure. But the point that I'm trying to make is that like Joe Rogan, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, I don't think was seen as like an expressly political figure. Like Anderson Cooper, Sean Hannity.
I bet you if we did a survey, I bet you 100 boners that most people would say he's apolitical. I think he's apolitical.
Joe Rogan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. They would say that now, but that would be an absurd claim to make, I think.
Well, he doesn't have a political show. I mean, not a political show, but it's near impossible not to talk about politics when they're literally in your face every day.
Well, but I think they're in your face every day because people like Joe Rogan put them in your face every day. This guy has cabinet level officials on, you know, frequently. He's got people talking about politics on all the time. You know, he brings on people to talk about like Dave Smith and
all the time. That would suggest that is all he does. And I've seen a lot of stuff by him that does aliens and psychedelic things. And there's a lot of non-political content on Joe Rogan stuff, man.
He does do some apolitical content, but I mean, you don't feel like in the past 5 years, his content has taken a much heavier political bend than it did in the 5 years prior to that, like prior to COVID?
I think the audience would say to you, his growing audience would say that is what the audience is interested in. And I'll bet you that he doesn't have a bunch of 14-year-old followers. I bet you it's a lot of, you know, guys probably my age and your age.
Yeah, sure. But I bet the average age of Joe Rogan skews much younger than Fox News or CNN. I think people in the podcast world in general.
Oh, most certainly. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I think, see, what I'm hearing you say is I'm hearing you encapsulate a concept that a particular group of people that voted for Trump have this agenda to push influencers. Now, clearly people are getting paid, but you're suggesting that it's the guys on the right. I thought we were going to have a different conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, I would just remind people of this online propaganda. Just because people on the left were late to the internet and late to the World Wide Web, maybe they were too busy trading their own stock positions, but they clearly did not use in the last 8 years the internet and social media to get elected.
Yeah, I agree. Okay? That's my entire argument.
Like, they really missed that.
The right did use it.
Used a propaganda machine for the last 60 years of my life, from CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, to The View. All of the movies I have ever seen from Hollywood came from the extreme left. I don't really understand what you're saying. You're saying just the right guys are paying people to propagandize.
Well, I'm not saying they're necessarily paying them. I mean, their audience capture, they get money because they have an audience doing it. I don't think Trump
is paying them. They're motivating them. They're going to get them followers or they're going to get them money. They're motivated. Right? That's what y'all are saying. People are motivated to push the agenda for the extreme right.
Correct.
That's what I think I'm hearing.
Yep.
And you're saying that is not happening on the left.
Correct.
Do you have any, like, can you, because you have no evidence or just claim it?
Well, the question would be, what are the equivalent podcasts on the left to your Joe Rogans, to your Candace Owens? Like, what are your equivalent in size? These are some of the largest podcasts in America. Like, if you look at the top 10.
I can't help it if your team has no articulate people that can draw a crowd. I mean, it's not our fault if I'm on the right, because I am.
Sure, see,
I
voted for Trump. Now you're just justifying why Trump, it is the way that it is.
And therefore, but I'm pushing an agenda. Like, I don't, like that. I have not done that. Okay, I've not supported fake news being propagated to a bunch of young kids. I'm going to be shut up here in a second. I just wanted to identify the argument because I don't think we're quite there yet. But anyone that thinks an influencer is the problem. The problem is the parents whose son had so little parenting and so little mentorship that they had to go look to some other man or woman to be that mentor leader or symbol of truth and base. And I think that's the real issue we have here. I would never have been incorporated into a bad group of people because I had a good set of parents and they gave me some good basic rules. I've been attempted to be indoctrinated in a ton of cults and never happened. So, for me, if we're really going to blame this phenomena, we're going to have to break it down and go, well, what is this young group of people? Is it Dana's age or is it 15?
I think what we're talking about, just for age range, I think we're talking about like the probably like the teen to mid 20s age range is what a lot of people are fixated on right now.
So, Destiny threw out what's interesting is if we're debating on causation, and I come at it closer to Gary, right? Which is, I actually think that the fact that there wasn't an outlet for the right is what led to all of this right wing. Gary pointed out they controlled music, Hollywood, and the news and television. And as a result, like all right, the pendulum always swings too far to the other side. And I think that's kind of like the ground I would take. But I gotta say, Destiny threw out like five hot button topics that we've waited for people who had who would come on and debate with us. Right? He brought up vaccines. He brought up Trump. He brought right like we could turn that. This could become a very fiery debate very quickly. I think in a way that I think would be really entertaining for everybody watching who should share the stream and debate.
Sure. Just on a quick thing, like even that statement is conservative propaganda. Like you say that like the left owned every platform. Fox News has been the largest cable news network in the United States for like decades. Every single talk radio program, except for like NPR, was a conservative talk radio program. The people that work in the arts tend to be more left-leaning. Yeah, sure. But they're not out here being like explicitly political in the same way that Joe Rogan is. That was my comparison between Joe Rogan and Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift can come out one time and tell you, hey, vote for Kamala. But she's not making music about taking the vaccines and, you know, behaving in lockdown and loving Palestinians like Joe Rogan is doing episode after episode after episode, carrying water for the current administration. That's why I'm saying it's right, not
they,
the same.
They turned late night comedy into one long Trump diss for what, the last 12 years? Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, and who's the other one? Jimmy Fallon. Like 90% of their monologues were just Trump hate, Trump nonsense, Trump headlines, right? Like they literally destroyed comedy. We didn't see in comedy clubs, comedy in general. They completely turn the culture into just anti-Trump. And to be honest, they expose themselves in doing so.
I mean, right? the comedy scene has destroyed itself with every single joke having to be about how cancel culture is horrible and what, you know, whatever else. Like these guys are, a lot of these guys are painfully unfunny now. And for some reason, they all find themselves defending literally the wealthiest men on the planet, which is kind of antithetical to a lot of, you know, what comedians used to do. Number one. Right. When you talk about these guys for late night problems, one of the issues for a lot of these people is Donald Trump wanted to, in a way that no president in my lifetime that I can think of has ever done before, Donald Trump wanted to include himself in the popular culture. Like Donald Trump operates in a way where he wants everybody talking about him. He's constantly on Twitter or Truth Social in an unhinged and crazy way that no other president has ever been involved in before. So, I mean, like, it's kind of weird that he would act in such a way and then people are like, I can't believe everybody's responding to him. Well, yeah, of course, that's what he's
done. You should start a podcast and just do the anti-Trump thing and bring the lefties over with you. Everybody that didn't vote for Trump, I mean, there sounds like there's a lot of them.
Sure.
So,
I mean, Biden got more votes than any president in all of U.S. history, and those were votes against Trump, so.
What's it like to go to bed every night knowing that, you know, or believing that, you know, the most evil human being on the planet is running our country?
I mean, I would say it's pretty sad. We're destroying our relationship with the rest of the world. There are thousands of people that are dying around the world right now because of high energy costs. There are millions of people that are going to die because U.S. aid was cut. I mean, it's a pretty horrible feeling, I think. Our reputation is being destroyed around the planet. Our alliances are being undermined constantly. The security threat has gotten worse than it was before. Every promise Trump
and
made
seems
to have been completely,
totally
destroyed.
That's because right-wingers like Joe Rogan have made the whole world toxic. Who else besides Joe? Joe's the big name. Who else is out there that's a naughty, naughty, right-wing banger?
I'm just saying that, like, these guys are, like, expressly and explicitly, like, politically partisan for Trump.
The person that you identified Trump as, anyone that would be pushing his agenda is also evil. So I'm just trying to get the list of...
I never said evil. Who said evil? I just said right-wing.
Okay, let's go right-wing then. Who else besides Joe R?
It seemed like almost every... If you want to talk about comedians, it seems like almost every single comedian on the podcast circuit, the guys from the All In podcast, Theo Von...
You guys do have a lot to make jokes about, though. Let's be honest. I mean, just grab some jokesters, dude. There's plenty to laugh at about Trump. I would grab some comedians. I don't know where your talent is.
Well, sure.
Like, you guys created Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, our talent is the thing that's been in charge of creating all the media in this country in the past 50 years that you conservatives literally ejected yourselves out of because you couldn't handle gay people being on TV. I mean, I don't know. What are you going to say? You said earlier that it's literally the left that controls all of our music and culture in Hollywood. So, and now it seems like comedians today, all they could do is make jokes about, I guess, like trans people in cancel culture. I guess if that's hilarious and edgy, I mean, that could be your thing. But
I mean, I wouldn't disagree that they're doing that. I think the comedian scene, particularly in Austin, they went all in on woke jokes, and it is a bit overplayed. But like to say that the left, particularly in comedian, like, you have Stavros, you have the Come Town Boys, like Mullen and Friedland. Those guys have pretty big audiences. They're very left-leaning. Sam Piker yourself, I mean, you guys have pretty big audiences too. And I think, Gary, I would push back on you. I mean, Obama used the internet to get elected better than anybody up to that point in 2008 and 2012. I think what we've seen in the last 5 years, I mean, you mentioned Fox News being the biggest conservative outlet on mainstream media, but I think a lot of the people that are being that you believe are being radicalized by these podcasters, where I think there's a strong argument to be made that they're going to the podcasters because they're talking about things that they actually care about. They would view Fox News as like controlled opposition, like conservatives that don't actually conserve anything, neocons that they don't agree with.
They view that because that's part of like the messaging. But the reality is the message carried on Fox News is the same message that's carried on these podcasts. Like, it's all the same messaging from the top down.
I don't think so. I think if you look at what's happening in Iran in the last month, Fox News has been cheerleading these far right podcasters. Are
pretty what about PBD? Is PBD one of these guys? Like, I don't know all the
PBD. I would say, right wing. Yeah, of course, carries tons of water for the current administration. Of course, yeah.
And who else is a bad man or woman? Candace? Did I hear Candace?
Yep, she'd be another one of them. Yeah.
What about Charlie Kirk? Was he the most evil person too, or
most evil? No, but he was also a guy who carried a lot of water for the Trump administration. Yeah.
Okay. So am I that guy too? Because I gave Trump administration 12.8 Bitcoin.
Probably then, yeah. You would be another guy who's a right winger.
I'm on that list. Okay. And then anybody else? Any other big influencers that I haven't named?
Is there anything bad with being right wing? Like, I support the Democrats. I would consider myself a left wing person. I don't know what.
Oh, it's very clear where you land, bro. It's very clear. But the thing is, I've judged where you are at, and I think you've judged where I'm at, and I think one of us is really wrong.
Do you think I'm left wing?
I think you hate anyone that voted for Trump. That's what I think. I think you distrust anyone that voted for Trump. The way you use your words. We're never ever going to get along if you think, hey man, he carried water for the devil, dude. He carried water.
You understand
water
that, like, you're the only one who brought up the word evil and like devil. Like, I never said any of these things.
Dustin have known me a long time. I tend to bring up words that are fitting for the occasion. And bro, the way you're talking, just survey the group, bet you the group will say, hey, you know, you make Trump sound like he's the devil incarnate.
We haven't even talked about Trump yet. You're throwing around all these words like I'm calling you evil. And okay. I'm not. My whole point was just that I think there's a lot of people right now that are supportive of Trump on the right, are like right wing supporting people. That's part of the we haven't even gotten into the policies or anything else yet. You're the one that started wheeling out. You think we're evil and you want us on a list and you think we're demons. Or like, I haven't said any of that. That's all your words, bro.
Okay. Who else is on the list, though? I would like to know who else are bad podcasters.
I never said anything about bad podcasters.
I want the audience to understand how broad this list is, though, dude. Like because your viewpoint is anyone that's ever done. And if I have a friend at Mar-a-Lago right now, so he's going to be a bad guy. I mean, to me, you guys are going to be really, really disappointed for the next 10 or 20 years if that's the viewpoint you have.
Well, we're coming up on a midterm where you guys are looking to lose the Senate in a way that was previously thought impossible.
You know
what? I don't know how we're going to
do. Senate and Congress is not the debate tonight, dude.
Oh, okay.
And quite frankly, your life isn't going to change any in 4 years relative to the Senate and the Congress.
Okay.
What's happening right now, and the way you and I cannot even have a communication, is the reason we are in the fucking position we're in, where political parties are no longer even human. We're looking at people like they're really bad.
I agree with you 100%, but this is on you right now. You're the one that took the conversation.
Maybe you need to lighten up a little bit.
No, you took the conversation here. I am so like,
your age bracket of people,
have some responsibility. Take some responsibility for what you're saying. You're the one that took the conversation here. You're the one that made this heavy as fuck. Nobody else was doing it until you started throwing around words like people.
Further, I just need a list of five more guys. Five of your top guys that are the big offenders. That's all I need, and I'll be quiet.
What was the host going to say?
I want to, Dana,
I want to know five more. Is Andrew Tate Boys on there? If we need to feed you names, we will,
no,
but I want to know.
I think you need a cigarette. I think you need to calm down. You're like, you're out of control right now.
I want
to
know
you're
the list.
Very emotional right
I don't
now.
Like jumping around on conversations. This is what people do when they're not firm in their base. They move conversations around all over the place.
You're the one who's been moving this entire conversation. Was the question how many
time looking at this. Just give me five
a lot of time.
Names.
You've been speaking more than I have. What do you want five names of? People that I think support Donald Trump?
I mean, Dustin, maybe you can give me some names, suggest some names, because I don't know all these guys.
What is the point? What do you want the names for? I can list off podcasts. I think Constantine Kissin and his co-hosts on Trigonometry, I think, support Trump, but that's true. You mentioned PBD. I would say he supports Trump. I think Tim Pool and his show, I think they support Trump. Candace Owens and Fuentes, not as much anymore, although they supported him come time the election was around. I think everybody on Fox News supports Donald Trump. Tucker Carlson does his own show now, and he supports Donald Trump. There's a myriad of these new kind of like mini influencers on Instagram and TikTok that I've debated that support Trump. People like Fishback, who is supposed to be here tonight, he supports Trump. I mean, obviously the Tates do. I mean, what else do you want me to say? I can name off podcasts. What's the
Dude,
point?
That's all I wanted to know.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, go ahead,
Dustin. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to jump in. Listen, I think that this is indicative. What's interesting is that one of the divides that I think caused the current, like the back and forth between Destiny and Gary, is the refusal to accept how dominant left-wing culture has been propagandized to like the country as a whole. And that domination has, right, academia, schools, entertainment, television, music, like people were so inundated with it. It makes sense that we're going to have back and forth. This idea that, right, and it makes sense. The left would scream that they lost the monopoly because they don't control all of the podcasts like individually. But with that said, I think there's still room for us to seriously talk about whether or not the pendulum has swung too far as a result, which is, right, because there's no more institutional norms, right, because in order to work at a newspaper or to work on a comedy show or to work in television more broadly, you had to adhere to very specific doctrine. You had to use the same phrases over and over and over again that everybody else did. As a result, we pushed people out. And now we're kind of seeing the wiling out on the right of people who are able to say and do whatever they want, which has frankly destabilized the right in a way that's pretty significant, which is, and you see it with Trump, the left, Nancy Pelosi controlled her caucus with an iron fist. Like they voted for and said whatever Nancy Pelosi said. Donald Trump has to deal with everybody going every which way they want to, which makes it really difficult to govern. I think he's paying a price for that because the right wing like is free to say and do whatever they want.
Okay, one thing at a time. So one, Donald Trump is a bad leader. That's the first issue. The reason why he can't do anything with Congress is because he's incapable of working with people to bring anybody to the table to do any deals for anything, right? This has been true historically of his businesses. This has been true historically of him as president in the first term. It seems like he has a huge issue like trying to sign trade deals. He hasn't been able to do that. He promised 100 deals in 100 days. We've got zero. He was complaining about how a war would start with Iran in prior administrations because people couldn't bring Iran to the table. He tore up the JCPOA and now we're at war with Iran for the second time in his second term. We've like the idea that Donald Trump can't work with Congress because of some issue with Congress. I mean, it seems like this is Donald Trump's issue. We're on like our fourth or fifth or sixth government shutdown now under Donald Trump. I don't know how we're blaming Congress for this. It seems like the issue right now is with him.
Congress was a broken joke. I've been working on the stupid continuing resolutions and omnibus spending bills the better part of 15 years. And like Speaker Micro Johnson and Little Turtle John Thune, like the Republicans have failed to adhere to and step up to their policies for a long time.
Trump doesn't work with them. What are they supposed to do? Donald Trump has abandoned the Congress. He doesn't utilize them in any way, size, shape, or form.
Because they're not functioning.
No,
they haven't.
No, they're there. They function. They can pass legislation. Biden passed a ton of legislation, didn't he?
I mean,
there were no shutdowns under Biden, right?
We had the same continuing resolution, same omnibus.
We had no shutdowns under Biden, and Biden passed legislation. Was that right or wrong?
it's right, but we have no regular spending, right? We haven't had constitutionally mandated regular spending.
Okay. So Biden was able to work with Congress to get the stuff.
Joe Biden stole $3 trillion from the American public to start maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7 internet connections.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
What are you talking about, bro? Nobody wants to go back to Joe Biden running the largest
crypto scam in the history of all crypto scams. Donald Trump has people flying around the planet right now doing scam deals with his family, Witkoff, in ways you've never. No, I'm not. I'm just giving you facts, but you don't know any of them. You have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about. MBS just gave a $2 billion loan.
Dana, you got to control the room.
Got to control poor destiny there. His destiny is forsaken to the left.
Jesus. You're about as quick as Trump is right now with his retorts. Nice job.
Trump's doing a great job, my brother.
Trump's doing a dog shit job. The entire world
is doing a phenomenal job.
Really? What part is phenomenal? The failures of Doge, the failures of the current Iran war, gas approaching, or we're going to do $200 a barrel. Like, what is the phenomenal part of Trump's job right now?
He's doing the job. If you sit down and just listen a couple seconds, you got 2 ears for a reason. Listen and you'll learn. Donald Trump is doing the job that the Bushes didn't do, Obama didn't do, the Clintons refused to do. It didn't get done. He's doing it. Congress,
why did he lie? Wait, can you just tell me, why did he lie and say no new wars?
For 68 years
why did Trump lie and say no new wars if he was going to get rid of Iran?
That's right and left. Why? And everything in between.
Why did Trump lie? Why did Trump lie?
Handled inflation
until the last
4 weeks. Mm-hmm. We had it across the board.
Oh, I'm muted.
He's doing in Iran what he has to do.
Why did Trump lie
Excuse me. 2 ears, one mouth. You can do this, dude. You can do this. I believe in you, Destiny.
These guys are completely
brain-broken. You can learn shit. Okay? Donald Trump has been in office 1 year.
3 or 4 out of 1.
Stopped inflation cold. We had lowest gas prices we've seen in 4 or 5 years. We had mortgage rates starting to come down up to 5 weeks ago. He'll get that fixed as well. He's got his hands full.
Grant,
he's doing a great job.
Grant, I think it's awesome, but look, let's get back on track on our debate, okay? The debate
Can I just ask a question? Why did Trump lie about no new wars if he was going to come in and finish the job?
Dustin, if you could get us back on track. Destiny, I need you. I muted you out again, Destiny.
Am I not going to ask a single question?
You need to go get on the Pierce Morgan
show. I'm
going
to do it again, and I'll continue to do it. Grant, knock it off. I don't do rooms like this. I don't have debates with people that don't actually want to have a conversation. And you don't appear. So either sit here and listen and we can start to learn to appreciate each other's viewpoint, or you can leave the room, dude. I'm not going to have an argument with you.
I got one more mute and I'll ditch this.
Justin, get it back on track, please.
So listen, James Fishback didn't want to have this debate. And so I kind of think we need to kind of shift.
Wait, do I not get to respond to any of the stuff that was just said? Is that?
No, not right now.
Oh, okay. I'm good.
I'll get to it. Let me just reframe it.
Okay. I'm good. All right. I got to move all my shit out of downstairs anyway. This is fucking retarded. I wonder if they ever even had James, or if that was just a bait, or if I got rug pulled on my own thing. Jesus Christ.
This for me, like, man, I have a lot of different friends, dude. Like, I think this gentleman would think that every friend I have is an extreme right winger. And Dustin, you know, so far from the truth. And like, I got to tell you, I see very few people. I don't know how old that young man is, but I see very few people that are taking this position who can actually have some manners and have a proper debate. Like, I know I got angry and I got upset, but I'm like, well, Dana, I got a little upset with you because I'm like, hey, this room.
Come on, Dana.
Why are we letting people just whack like this? It's not cool. Communication like this is so unhelpful we can all do this, hey, left wing and right wing thing. I am not in any of those things. Like, I think it's stupid to fucking be in a club like that. I think it's fucking dumb as Dallas to be in a club like that.
Well, so I think this is part of like what the topic like kind of was originally, which is like, this is what the culture debate was though, right? Which is we take these
hard... First time I've ever seen it this heavy. I'm like, wow, I was being shocked. And I'm like literally going, hey, who is he talking about? That's why I wanted the 10 people, because I'm like, I don't.
This is no joke. This is what like online podcast politics look like for the younger generation, which is it's extremely tribal. It's extremely right. Like it's funny because we with the show have struggled because it's like every conversation we have is with super smart people who, right, we always take very nuanced positions. That is the kind of debate that happens. And part of the issue is,
yeah, that's not a debate though, man. Okay. There's no debating there. That's literally vomiting. I mean, it's projectile vomiting of, and it's non sequitur. I was just trying to get some definitions. Okay. Like literally get definitions. What, like, why wasn't my brother's name on that list? He should have been one of the top guys. So millions of followers, PBD. I didn't know. He's telling me Tucker Carlson. I think, isn't Trump mad at Tucker Carlson? Isn't the right hating on Tucker right now? I don't know, but I did not know it was this main, it was this big of an issue. Well, I mean, Dana, is this a reality for your age bracket? Because I'm assuming he's in your age bracket, you and Marty's.
Yeah, but he's, you know, most of his audience is a bit younger. He's still streaming to his audience right now.
For the audience, I don't run shows like this. I don't want a bunch of drama. I actually want people to get help. And the way we're going to get help is we're going to have, oh, wow, that's his viewpoint? Now, this is awesome for me because I didn't know anybody had this viewpoint. But, like, I have been labeled a bad guy for giving Bitcoin 12, for giving Trump money, and don't really like what we're doing right now.
Right, but
and I've been vocal about it. It's like, wow, you know.